WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
You gotta understand, man. I never even saw these assholes before.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I got it. I know your damn words, all right?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
My lord. I believe he is the one written of in the Necronomicon.
The Omega.
Are all men from the future? Loud mouth, dragon.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you speak the exact words?
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Look, maybe I didn't say every single little tiny syllable, though, but basically I said them, yeah.
This is the phenomenal one. AJ Styles.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G. Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
You're listening to WTR Sunday night. I'm Samoa Joe.
WTR Sunday night.
Shop smart. Shop S-Mart.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's getting to be one of those weird weeks where we have no pay-per-view to review or preview, which is weird.
Aren't we supposed to have tonight? Oh, wait, we're here. We're live. We're doing a show.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, actual wrestling show, actual wrestling talk.
Wow.
Yeah. Not depending on a pay-per-view for content.
Who does that?
We do.
Not anymore.
So, since we have actual wrestling content to talk about, I guess we should get to talking about it. So, this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, you can hear his smart-ass comments. It's Sir Rockin'.
Yeah, I'm here to bring the smart-ass comments and do leave the show.
Right. You lead the show. That means we have to figure out what the one Tim Stein has to do here.
He does the introductions.
Does he do the... Oh, he does the intro. Okay, cool. Go.
No, Omega does the intro.
No, you do the formal introduction.
I do the welcome thing.
That's an introduction. That's the formalities.
Yeah, I just do the smart-ass part at the beginning.
So basically, did you like intro me or
the one and only Tim Stein? Yes.
You know, something like that?
Yeah, because look, Rock's switching our roles around. Oh. I don't know who's who anymore.
So this is my turn to talk then.
Yeah, that'd be it.
You realize that means we're in a lot of trouble. Hey, welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, and also on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. And as always, throughout the month of November, we're brought to you by Manscaped.com. It's a complete line of men's personal grooming supplies, including the Lawnmower 3.0, the Ball Toner, Body Wash, Nail Grooming Kits, and more. Head over to Manscaped.com. And when you place your order, use the promo code WTRLive. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping. Manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. That being said, we're also able to be heard on various other things. And our primary thing, Rock, has been a little app that we have been using off our very own server called Shoutcast.
Yeah.
And the days of Shoutcast are numbered, apparently. it seems.
Yeah. So if you listen to us via audio player, well, download the Twitch app for your mobile device.
Or go to twitch.tv/WTR live on a computer device. And in the very near future, that's the only way you're going to be able to listen to Russell Talk Radio, CB Radio. There's another one there that I'm forgetting, but it's on the rack at 10 o'clock Eastern Thursday nights.
And also the Raw Post Show Mondays at 11 p.m. Eastern.
I was going to get there.
Eventually.
But that's not until tomorrow night.
That's not till tomorrow night.
I just want to give everybody advance notice, heads up. This is a warning that isn't a belligerent warning. It's just we're rejigging things a little bit in the coming days and weeks. So we want you all to be prepared. And so this is going out to everybody listening live, everybody listening to the archives. If you ever do listen live, but for some reason can't be listening live right now, so you're listening to the archives, which is usually how it goes. Forewarned is forearmed. And if you got forearms, I think you might belong in a Hellboy movie. Speaking of movies, okay.
Or a kid's cartoon show called Ben 10.
Ben 10.
There's a character named Forearms.
Okay.
Yeah, I know these things.
Okay, if you watch kids' cartoons, then good for you.
Because my nephew, he's all about the Ben 10 and all the characters. That. He was forearmed for Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. Okay, fair enough.
Some movies, so, Tim.
That being said, yeah, Omega, I've got one question for you. Can you name a J.J. Abrams movie that sucked?
I am not sure offhand.
Okay, it's a trick question. They all do. J.J. Abrams is the hack of Hollywood.
All right. Could have gone with episode 9.
Yeah, I watched Battleship this afternoon. And I discovered the only reason why it was called Battleship was because they spent 5 minutes of the entire goddamn movie on one. And it was supposed to be called Battleship after the game. And
it was licensed and based on the board game.
Yeah, like literally less than 5 minutes of the goddamn movie had anything to do with anything remotely connected to the game. So, yeah, I am a firm disbeliever in J.J. Abrams. Don't like the guy.
Wait a minute.
What? What are you doing? You're looking for a good J.J. Abrams movie, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
He didn't do Battleship.
Didn't he?
No.
Oh, who did Battleship?
Battleship was Peter Berg.
Really?
Do you just hate J.J. Abrams so much you're projecting bad movies onto him?
What, did Peter Berg direct it?
And produced it.
And he produced it. Did he write it?
John Hoberg and Eric Hoberg.
Okay, so what's the guy's name again who did it?
Peter Berg.
Peter Berg? Peter Berg is the J.J. Abrams of home board game movies.
Really had to fight for that.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel answers rapid-fire questions. Step up to the plate for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
So we did a segment just now where he was talking about a director he did not like, about a film he watched today that had nothing to do with the director.
Oh, I've come up with a movie by J.J. Abrams that didn't really suck so bad.
Don't care. Eric Bischoff recently came out with the statement, I don't think NXT is as good as TNA wrestling was at its peak. He would go on to say that whatever TNA's peak was is subjective, but was TNA wrestling at its quote-unquote peak better than what we're currently seeing in NXT right now, guys?
Mission Impossible 2. But getting back on topic.
Staying on topic. Yes.
Not staying on topic, getting back on topic. Omega D.
He didn't do Mission Impossible 2 either.
He did Mission Impossible 3.
Man, how big is your hate boner when you can't even remember all the movies they did? This movie sucked. J.J. Abrams must have made it.
Yeah, you see, this is me just coming to conclusions and jumping to conclusions based on one thing. And all it is an inside joke that I'm not going to expand on because it'll piss people off and I'm not trying to piss people off. But anyway, Did you have an immediate retort for this quick hit?
It's just like an immediate thought off the top of my head was,
Eric Bischoff is the J.J. Abrams of professional wrestling.
I don't know. I think I've liked more things J.J. Abrams did than Eric Bischoff did.
You might have a point.
It's like Eric Bischoff is Michael Bay. He had one successful movie that wasn't that great, but he dragged it out so long he made billions on it.
What was that movie?
It's called the NWO. He ran that for as long as the Transformer movies ran.
No, I was saying, what was the Michael Bay movie?
That's Transformers.
Well, yeah. It's a reach, but we'll give you that one. Question for you. Where's Eric Bischoff working nowadays?
He sometimes appears. He does a podcast and sometimes appears on AEW.
Sometimes appears on AEW.
Like twice. He's appeared twice.
It counts sometimes.
Yeah.
Isn't trying to find TNA's peak somewhat subjective?
That is what I said.
Yeah. I mean, like when it first came out and you actually had to pay $4 a month to watch it or whatever it was.
$10 US a week.
Yeah, it was good. They had some shit going on. But even then, I don't think it was better than, what we've been seeing with NXT. I mean, TNA had, shows that were really good, but they were few and far between. NXT has shows that are really bad, but they're very few and far between.
I actually would say that it is kind of on par, like going back. Let's talk about the Kurt Angle era of TNA wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Those were some really good shows and a lot of good stories being told during that era. I mean, people were really talking about that product when Kurt Angle showed up and his stuff with Samoa Joe. AJ Styles was peaking at that point. I could see where his point is that TNA was, you know, better in some ways than NXT. I can see the point.
I just disagree. I don't think overall at its peak, I don't think overall TNA was better than NXT overall.
Well, what do you consider NXT, Tim? What do you consider NXT? Because if you've watched NXT, right before it got on USA Network, it was a lot of developmental matches. What people rave about NXT was TakeOver. Weekly though, Impact would have top tier matches.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say at points, TNA so was above it.
Even when it was developmental, they didn't have top tier.
You would get 1 week, maybe. Everything else.
Talent?
You would have the talent, but it would be 3 minute matches. You wouldn't get long, drawn out matches. Maybe one in the 1 hour show.
The weird thing about
doing it that way is you end up turning those NXT stars, even though they're just developmental talent, into actual stars because it's an attraction now. You know, mm-hmm. If I watch TNA at its peak, I'm going to see AJ Styles wrestle every week. You know, that's cool, but eventually I've seen a lot of AJ Styles. You know, if I'm watching NXT and like, I might get a Johnny Gargano match every few weeks. It's really cool to see Johnny Gargano every time.
I don't disagree with that.
Sci-fi noises I'm hearing.
That's Star Trek Fleet Command. Apparently my ship has finished repairing.
Oh boy.
I'm not playing it right now. I was playing it earlier before dinner.
My point is I can see why he would think it's on par.
I don't know. I think Eric Bischoff is just busy being Eric Bischoff. Controversy creates cash.
Indeed. Now I have a question for you guys. How many matches are too many matches to watch in a 2 hour window of wrestling content?
It honestly depends on how you handle the matches. Like if we get short bursts or we get variety in the style of the matches, then you could get away with more.
But what's, how many?
Okay. I'm going to say in a 2 hour window, 8 matches is too many.
Yes.
When we were running, Canadian All Pro Wrestling on the regular, for the most part did 5 matches in a 2 hour span, and we would expand to 6 matches when it was a bigger deal. And we were trying to push a storyline that would lead up to a title change, which makes sense. But we would have 3 matches and then we would have, intermission. the semi-main event and then the main event, and everything would be all wrapped up in 2 hours. And those five matches were long enough to get the people invested, to get them really into it. The first match of the night was usually the second or third longest match of the night, depending on what storylines we were pushing for that particular show. And the reason why it would be the second longest was it would give the curtain jerkers, the hot open, the opportunity and the chance to get the crowd invested and involved and ramp up the energy level coming from the fans. And of course, the main event was always the longest match of the night.
So what you're telling me is that having 11 matches in a 2 hour window is a lot of matches.
Jesus Christ.
Too fucking many.
Okay, because AEW Dark...
I don't have that many playing the games.
AEW Dark featured this past month 11 matches in a 2 hour window.
And how long were these matches?
Probably 5 minutes apiece, 5-6 minutes, if not shorter.
You're not going to get shit done in 5 minutes.
So what if I told you they did 14 matches in a 2 hour window?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What if I told you they did...
Smack them.
What if I told you...
picture half of them?
No, it's YouTube. It's all YouTube. Not Dynamite. YouTube. On Dark. What if I said
they edit the screens together?
What if I told you they did 15 matches?
Shut up. Too many matches.
What if I told you they did 16 matches?
Stop it. No.
What are you doing other than trying to make everybody's brain explode?
Just getting everyone on the same page I've been every time they say, hey, this week on Dark we have 14 matches. This week on Dark we have 16 matches.
Stop. The point's dead.
They peak with 16 matches.
That's ridiculous. That's double plus one the number of matches you should have within two hours.
In my head, the number was six.
Yeah.
At most.
Moving away from that topic, Wade Barrett has spoken about how he's not retired, even though he's enjoying his time as a commentator on NXT.
Yeah, neither is Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. If you could put Wade Barrett in the ring one more time against someone right this minute, who would it be, Omega?
God, it's been so long since I've seen Barrett in the ring. I'm trying to think, like, who would he mesh with? Because I know the one he wants is McIntyre. I wouldn't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be okay, but it definitely would be my go-to match for him.
And what is?
For me? Well, it's not my turn yet.
It's a conversation.
Okay, well, take your turn. It's a round table. We go back and forth.
No.
The round table's coming up after the
ultimate. It's not. It's not this.
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table. With no intro. With no intro.
That doesn't make sense anymore.
Stop that. Oh my God. No, I get
to play that again. I'm going to start playing copyrighted music over my phone on this show.
There you go.
Well, wait till segment two. It's going to be played again.
I got two wrestlers to get in the ring with Wade Barrett.
Okay.
For WWE, Kevin Owens. I think those two could pull off a really good match. My other wrestler is from NXT. It would be Tommaso Ciampa.
Being an NXT commentator, that is a far more likely match.
Yes, that is far more likely. But those are my two. You're allowed to have two, Omega.
Seeing him in the ring one more time, like, there's a novelty to that, but I feel like my favorite stuff with Barrett is when you actually let him have a personality. Like, the Bad News Barrett run was my favorite.
That pissed me off, just because of personal reasons.
Like, for whatever reason, something in my head said, like, I would love to see this guy be, like, a foil or a manager or something for like King Corbin. Aside from, you get to elevate the whole, cause the whole gimmick of King Corbin right now is he's the only one who takes the whole King thing seriously. So what better as an advisor than the former King of the Ring?
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think Barrett could even help, Corbin.
Nothing can help Corbin. Like,
no.
Like, when Corbin's not scripted, like when he's off, like just like doing the YouTube videos or up, up, down, down, he's great. He actually has personality to him. Mm-hmm. He just can't work scripted to save his life. You give him someone he can like improv off of, then you can go somewhere with him. Maybe.
Which is really weird because improv is not the easiest thing. Like going out winging it, if you will, is not the easiest thing to do.
No, but some people do kind of excel at that. Like, I tend to rattle off better, funnier quips off the top of my head, bouncing off someone else than I do when I'm on my own, just trying to think of things.
Well, that's why you and I mesh so well together.
Is that it?
Kevlar mesh.
So I'm glad you brought up King Corbin.
Uh-oh. You're the only person to ever say that.
It ties into the next question. If you had to build a company right now around one superstar, would you choose Chris Masters of 2005 or current day King Corbin?
I need context. How did Chris Masters end up in this?
I was trying to think of someone from like 10 to 15 years ago, and he is the perfect one based on size that matched up with King Corbin.
Size and talent level.
Yeah, I think kind of on the same level. Because remember, back in then, they were pushing him hard.
They were. Master Lock was a huge thing.
Yeah. So who would you build around? Masters?
That's
or...
what you put, that's what he got Batista over with.
And now trying to do with Lashley. So, who are you going to build around, Omega, Corbin, or Masters?
Honestly, I would go with, my answer would probably be the same as I have seen elements of Corbin that might actually be able to work with. WWE just, for whatever reason or another, wants to stick him in this role that just does not work for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would rather see him, I feel like in late 80s, early 90s, when the promos weren't heavily scripted, they were allowed to improv. Here's your bullet points. Go out there and just shoot. I feel like he would do so much better. Like, they took the old school approach with Corbin and just like, make sure you mention this and this. This is going to happen. And then however you respond, it's all up to you. I feel like he would work so much better that way.
All right, Tim.
Well, as much as we absolutely hate how he's been saddled with what he's been saddled in WWE, one thing that cannot be, in all honesty, denied is the fact that Corbin is actually more talented in the ring than Chris Masters was. Masters had size and all of that other shit. Neither one of them really has much of a personality, but the edge also goes to Baron Corbin for on-screen personality. It seems to be like you're picking the best of a bad batch, but I probably have to, you know, try to build it around Baron.
Okay. There we go. All right. That's quick hits.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
All right, we're continuing on female characters in the all-time greatest. Rosemary takes on Nyla Rose, Omega.
I have to admit, I don't have much exposure to Rosemary. Like, that's the era where I just was not paying attention to TNA.
Okay.
I guess in this case, just because I lack the experience, I would go with Nyla Rose.
Okay. Tim?
I really don't much have a horse in this race. Flip a coin.
Do the coin command in chat. Exclamation point coin. That one, Rosemary for heads. There you go, Tim.
All right. Rosemary for heads.
All right. I'm going to go Rosemary because she actually has a full-on character, and Nyla Rose does not actually have much of a character in AEW. Just, if anyone wants some good character development, go look on Impact's YouTube channel. Look up Rosemary from about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. The stuff between her and Allie, the bunny, is some really good, compelling stuff. Something for people to watch at some point. Anyway, we move on. Beulah McGillicuddy, Santana Garrett, Omega.
In this case, I think I have to go with I have to go with Beulah.
Okay.
For someone who wasn't trained to wrestle, she was. I love how willing she was to just go out there and have at it.
Tim?
Yeah, Beulah. What Omega said.
Dakota Kai and Mercedes Martinez. We'll start with Tim this time.
Shit. Dakota Kai.
Why?
Because I said so. This is just a personal liking, personal preference.
Omega?
In this case, probably Mercedes. She's been around. She's been around a lot longer. She's got a lot more credentials under her belt. Dakota just, I don't think, has done quite enough yet.
Do you remember that time back in the day, like a year ago, where Dakota Kai turned on her best friend Tegan Knox?
Oh, that part where she kept slamming her into the cage door over and over again.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh yeah, that absolutely happened.
Go Mercedes Martinez, just because she is the overall better worker and currently the smartest person in professional wrestling.
Get me the fuck out of Retribution.
She saw how bad that was going and she went, I'm out, bye, see ya, sayonara, we out. So Mercedes Martinez will move on. And finally, Alicia Fox and Sue Young. Omega.
God, this is again someone who's more known in Impact and Shimmer and places I haven't paid attention to. Are you really gonna make, oh god, I don't want to pick Alicia Fox. I don't!
Then pick Sue Young. No one's stopping you from saying Sue Young.
I know, but it's such an unqualified choice. I genuinely have no idea. Like, I mean, at the times, Alicia Fox at least did entertain me. Crazy Alicia Fox was amusing.
Well, she was the temper tantrum chick before Alexa Bliss was.
So, Meg is going Alicia Fox.
Very begrudgingly.
Tim?
I'm going Alicia Fox.
Was that hard?
Yes!
I low-key crushed on Alicia Fox. I wasn't a huge fan of her character. I did get a kick out of her throwing the temper tantrums and shit like that. And every now and then when she would actually think her shit don't stink compared to other people, it was entertaining.
I mean, do you remember her match with Alicia Fox and Melina?
I was just going to say her actual wrestling was like, you know, average at best, at the best of times.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, average at a time when women's wrestling was not very highly acclaimed in the first place.
Yep. But she was still one of the more entertaining ones.
So there you go. That's this week's all-time greatest female characters. Time to go to break, Tim.
Hey, everybody. Don't forget, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and join us, twitch.tv/WTR Live. If that's too much typing, go to wildtalkradio.com and click on the chat button because it'll take you to the same damn place. It's not that hard to do. But in the meantime, go relieve yourselves. Get yourself a refreshing beverage. Whatever it is you got to do, go do it. We'll be back in just a few.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Greater Than Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that.
What's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
This would be where he would say, and welcome back to WTR Sunlight Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com, use code WTR Live, save 20% off, and free shipping. Your balls will thank you. I don't know if he's actually back yet or not.
I wasn't here.
Yeah.
You said 5 minutes. That wasn't 5 minutes.
Okay, it was close to 5 minutes.
3 minutes is not close to 5 minutes in the grand scheme of things.
No, not true.
It is over 24 hours.
I think I sent the message of 10, you said in 10, what? 10:40 is 10:45 when we actually got back on the air. It's 5 minutes.
No.
Yeah, it was close enough. It was close enough.
No.
Back.
I refuse to agree with you because I want to have my way.
Your way or the highway?
Think about it. Anyway, welcome back, like he said. Like he said, we're back.
We're back. Better than ever. Face the facts.
Fact to face.
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
So guys, Roman Reigns clearly in the number one spot on top of SmackDown. WWE has assembled a list of talent who could be seen as the number two talent on SmackDown, but aren't actually positioned that way. You know, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, just name a couple. Looking at the SmackDown roster, who should actually be the number two talent on SmackDown, and how do you separate them from the rest of the pack? Like, Roman Reigns has sort of taken that number one spot.
I mean, technically right now, your de facto number two guy on the roster is probably Seth Rollins, and that's mostly, you know, mostly just from reputation at this point.
But,
you know, you separate them because they're both heels, so they don't really have a reason to clash, and their missions are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Roman is about the championship. He is about, like, taking dominance over his family. Seth is about preaching his message and converting people to his way of thinking.
But you said he's de facto number two, but not actually seen as it? And you said reputation, but...
It's hard to see... It's really hard to see, like, a landscape in WWE right now where there is more... Where you have a number two guy. Because it's just... For years now, the booking has basically been a revolving door where we see people who should probably be a lot higher up, and then, like, look where the Fiend is, where he should be you should see him as the number two star on any brand, if not the number one, depending on championship opportunities. But he kind of gets lost a lot, and they kind of just, like, lose track of what he's doing.
Well, let me just ask for clarification here, Rock. Are you saying number two as a number one contender?
In a way, you could, but you're just...
Because if that's the case, then definitely it's not Seth Rollins.
But you try... Okay, so we'll go with it in this fashion. Roman Reigns is your top heel.
Yeah.
Top babyface. How do you separate that? Because there's a bunch of people in the same position, but no one's branching out and onto the, like, securing that number one... babyface spot, so would be number two on the roster.
Like, if you want to look at it, ignore the babyface or heel dynamic, it is Seth Rollins, practically by default. However, I've got a bit of a list, from most likely to least likely.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be as far as contendership, opposing Roman on a regular. Okay. And I would rank it, starting with Daniel Bryan, go to Kevin Owens, Aleister Black, and Lars Sullivan. Everybody else is either a mid-card title holder or a tag team. Really, you think about it.
But wouldn't you even consider someone like Aleister Black a mid-carder right now?
There's no reason you can't elevate him. He's got the size, he's got the talent, he's got the ability. Right now he is in the mid card, and he should be challenging for the mid card title. As far as that goes, but there's no reason why he can't be elevated. The reason Lars Sullivan is on the bottom of the list is he's a freaking monster, and he would be the definitely not a baby face, but not the heel that they've made Roman Reigns. Don't know if I'm describing that properly, but just because of his character, he is not the one currently to challenge Roman.
No, by all means, no.
Definitely not. And for the same reason, neither is Seth, unless you turn Seth face again. And it's not time to turn Seth face.
No, because he's not even been a heel for a year yet.
Yeah, I mean, what you could do is he's technically a free agent. He's on the commentary table. You could bring Samoa Joe back into the ring to challenge Roman.
If he was healthy enough.
If he was healthy enough. And that would be the thing. And it's just too bad that Joe can't go.
Okay.
Because Joe would be the perfect number two.
Okay, you mentioned Kevin Owens. It's one of your guys. How do you take him from where he's at right now, sort of hanging around, but not really getting that whole push, as they like to call it? How would you elevate him?
Well, you're saying he's hanging around, but not really doing anything. He's not really doing much of anything. He's just, like, there to be the guy to get stomped or do a stomping, right?
Because if you think about a year ago with him, right?
No.
He was rising. He was getting up. The crowd was getting behind him. He was doing the stunner and everything like that.
Yep.
And, crowds were peaking for him and stuff like that. And now it's like, I know it's the COVID era and, you know, things are different, but he's still a character on television, and he's just sort of like, hi, I'm happy to be here. Here's my show.
Well, here's the thing. They kind of sort of have that going with him and Uso.
Yeah, I mean,
and they could expand that and have Owens realize that it's not Uso, it's his cousin. And the only way to stop a snake is cut off its head.
That's a Hydra.
Well, okay. It also works with a snake too. You cut off its head, it's done.
Yeah, but you can cut off the middle part and it's done too.
Well, yeah, but if you cut off a worm in the middle, then you got two worms.
That's not a worm we're talking about. We're talking about snakes.
I know, but snakes and worms remind me of each other, just on different size scales.
That's wormist of you.
Yeah, I'm a wormist. Yeah, but still, it's a very, very, very short leap to make with the elevation of Kevin Owens. He's a teammate on the Survivor Series teammate thing. And him and Uso were all right with each other until he made a couple of cracks that Jay took the wrong way and then let go because I'm just kidding. And then out comes Roman saying, no, you can't let him talk about the family. I'm the head of the table. Go deal with this. And Jay gets forced to go out there and work on laying a beating on Kevin. All right. Whose idea was it to lay a beating on Kevin? Simple. It was Roman's.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin realizes this and says, hey, you know what? I don't care if you guys are family. You're treating them like crap. That's not the way family treats each other. I don't care where you're from, blah, 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 blah. Where I'm from, you don't do that to family. You don't put them in that situation. This is on you. And then boom, all of a sudden you got a main event. You've got a program. You've got a whole thing to go.
But that seems short term though. Long term, where how do you get him in to be right there for a long term?
How is that simply just short term? That's not simply short term.
Sounds very short term. You get him into a program with Roman, then what?
You're not gonna have him win immediately, naturally, of course, but you keep him hanging around there and it's just a simple case of he keeps antagonizing Roman until Roman says enough's enough, let's go again.
Also, this is just an exercise to show. There's really not a lot of heavy main eventers on SmackDown right now.
No, they shifted everybody to Raw.
That's what this exercise is. It's a show, hey, you have maybe Seth Rollins, you have maybe Kevin Owens, you maybe have Daniel Bryan when he wants to be there.
No, until they turn Seth out of the equation, really.
Because he's clearly the number 3-4 on the pecking order then.
Because
you need that hot baby face and quite frankly, they don't have it on SmackDown.
No, the closest thing to a hot baby face would be Daniel Bryan. And it's a few years too late, but you could have the whole getting revenge because of the fan driven revenge thing, because everybody hated Roman after that Royal Rumble.
It's a feud based on principles, because Roman never gave up on the fans even after they booed him, and now he has.
Yep.
But has Roman
Whereas Bryan's been there. He's been the part where he wanted to give up on everyone.
Except for when, he was about saving the Earth.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, people gave up on him there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. SmackDown needs talent. That's the best way to describe it. They need talent.
They're doing really good stories for what they have.
By the way, go ahead.
Like, I really have enjoyed, I remember the last time we had an Uso get injured, they shelved the entire team. And now, we're waiting on Jimmy to get injured or get healed up. And then, Jay has shined, he's done as well as he possibly could in the situation they stuck him in. And it's done, the segments might go a little long, but I think it's done wonders to show just how heinous Roman is in this new persona.
By the way, you both missed one name that probably should be mentioned, but they haven't given that push yet. Big E. What happened to him? What happened to his push?
I took him off my list.
What happened to that? Like, they broke him apart. I mean, like.
Yeah, they want to push him big, and if you want a baby face, not much better than a New Day member. He's got a ways to go, though. He has to prove himself in singles because he's been in the New Day for so long now. Like, he's got fans behind him. He's got a lot of potential. But he hasn't grown into the role yet.
This is exactly why I took him off my list. Because, when I got this thing, I put together a list of all the members of the roster of SmackDown. I got rid of this guy and that guy because they're a tag team. Same with that one. Him? No, not counting them because he's holding the mid-card title. Them? No, they're a tag team. Forget it. This guy? No, he can't be on that list because, well, he's, you know, a joke. And then, oh, okay, well, here's all of this. Big E. Yeah, not yet. We're looking maybe 4 or 6 months down the road for him.
Hopefully. We start to get him on TV more than just laughing backstage.
Well, I'm hoping 4 to 6 months is worst case scenario.
Because they could have a run with someone like Big E and it would be fresh and new and different.
Mm.
We'll have to see. But I think that's enough for one night, Tim.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you very much on that one. Everybody, we're done for the evening, but don't forget tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, is the post show.
We'll discuss everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and I mentioned the show once, and I'm going to do it again. The first time was an unofficial plug. This is the official plug. Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward.
We got NXT Rundown. We got all the news and discussion probably about the Undertaker special, about Paul Bearer that happened this weekend on the WWE Network. So tune in, find out on the Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, what he said, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as we can get to it, Eastern Time, is another edition of the Wild, Wacky, Unusual, Greater Than Great Debate known as CB Radio.
We did testicle names last night on the Greater Than Great Debate.
Ball names?
Ball names.
Was it sponsored by Manscaped.com?
Yeah, where you can use code WTRLIFE to save 20% off and free shipping.
You get free shipping?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, it's amazing.
I'm going to go to Manscaped.com and get a nose trimmer because I've already got a ball groomer.
There you go.
From Manscaped.com.
There you go.
With free shipping. It came with free shipping.
So, speaking of CB Radio, CB Radio Not So Live will be available on Thursday morning as we discuss everything that went down at AEW's Full Gear this past Saturday night.
There you go. Yeah. And, of course, next Sunday will be a Survivor Series preview night. Pick 'em.
Yes, we'll preview the entire show from top to bottom, all the matches, as we battle for brand supremacy.
You know, I think we should invite the intern on as a special guest for reasons.
We'll pass that note along if he would like to join us.
Yeah, for reasons, he should come on and play Pick'em with us. For reasons.
For reasons.
You know the reasons.
I know. We'll see if he agrees to said reasons.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, you like playing video games on the twitch.tv/WTRLive webpage. So why don't you tell everybody about Fortnite with friends?
Yeah, join me, Omega, Lindsay, and Brent as we try to play Fortnite and not get our ass kicked Thursday nights and Saturday nights. twitch.tv/WTRLive.
Absolutely, and of course, we're doing our best to flood social media. There's the two main ones so far. Facebook is Wild Talk Radio Network /WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Twitter is at Wild Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night.
I have no idea what that Facebook plug was, but it's Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's the one I forgot.
Yeah, did Facebook.com/WTR/Wild Talk. I don't know, something like that.
Anyway, WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, blah, blah, blah. Now, there are all of these other extremist social medias that we're looking into joining just so we can tell people that we're doing this. And we want you to tune in and listen if you're an extremist, just so we can pick on you and make fun of you because it's funny. Or maybe not. I don't know. But I do know that you should follow me on Twitter at Clings Forums if you want to get all of the goofiness, wrestling, and sports talk. If you want to get uncensored, political, and my thoughts and opinions on absolutely everything. And boy, I've had a lot to talk about this past few weeks. Follow me at Voice Insanity. If you like food, you want to talk about what I'm cooking in the kitchen, then follow me at Mangitchin TV. But that's just me, Omega.
Are you ready for this? It's different now.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, if you want to follow most of everything I do on the internet, you can find it under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel that is being constantly updated these days. And that is also the website, TJOmega.net, for some exclusive videos. And if you want to follow me over on Facebook or Instagram, you can find me at The Plastic Addict.
Instagram?
Yeah, we added Instagram to the list. And it's not TJ Reviews anymore. Yeah, so I'm trying to like consolidate some names here. Also, twitch.tv/TJOmega because I'm doing a lot of live streaming these days.
Cool. Are you building any computers on video camera?
I did that once, never again.
I remember that. That was fun. Especially when that part that you freaked out because you couldn't find your part.
I've been bit by the first person who's ever been heckled while they build a PC.
was it heckling or was it, you know, like encouragement and oh, you can do this, you know, like find the part and get it built? No, I was heckling. Never mind.
Take us home.
Everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. Have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night for Survivor Series preview and pick 'em. Make sure you tune in 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, right here, WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.